chapter 6. And he, Jesus, went out from there and came into his own country. So that would be Nazareth, Galilee. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "From where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that is given to him, that even such mighty works are worked by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judas and Simon? And are his sisters not here with us?" And they took offense at him. Now, why did they take offense at him? Because they knew Jesus. They had known him probably his entire life. You know, they knew his family. They knew that he was not anything special. You know, he wasn't rich. He didn't have high status in society. He was just a lowly man, and they didn't like that because in their minds, they're picturing the Messiah that was prophesied about in the Old Testament as being some, you know, very rich, pompous man, which really doesn't make sense because if you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, there's over 300 of them. They never say that, you know, the Christ is going to be rich and famous and high status and all of that stuff. But they just, you know, they imagined that in their mind, and they didn't like that it was just this Jesus down the street. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house." So, you know, he was, at this point, he was still very popular among the people, but not in his own hometown. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. They just refused to believe. This is not who I pictured the Christ being. Therefore, I'm not going to believe, even though he's performing supernatural acts to prove who he is. And he went around all the villages teaching. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. So this is the limited commission that we read about in Matthew 10. And gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff only, no satchel, no bread, no money in their purse, but wear sandals and not put on two coats. So again, he's sending them out to the Jews first rather than the Gentiles. The Gentiles will come, but right now the gospel is going out to the Jews first. And because these are their own people, they should be able to rely on people's hospitality. "Oh, you're one of us. Please come into our house and stay." And, you know, it says he gave them power over unclean spirits. And I think they had other powers too, because later it says they healed the sick. I think this was a limited power because we know in Acts 2, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then they got a lot more powers then. So I think this was a limited commission with limited powers. And he said to them, "In whatever place you enter into a house, abide there until you depart from that place. And whoever shall not receive you or hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Truly I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Yeah, because, I mean, they're getting first dibs at the gospel of Christ. The apostles are going to prove who they are and what they are seeing, what they are saying, by doing supernatural acts. So they have no excuse not to believe. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name had spread abroad. And he said, "John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works show forth themselves in him." So Herod thought that Jesus was reincarnated John the Baptist, I guess. Others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet," or similar to one of the prophets. But when Herod heard of it, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He has risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and taken hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. And just a note back here, people will believe that this these people, either Elijah or a prophet or John the Baptist, actually rose from the dead, and yet they refused to believe in Jesus. Doesn't that sound silly? It's kind of like today, you know, people will believe in anything. I mean, they'll believe in aliens and Bigfoot and ghosts and everything else, but will not even contemplate opening the Bible and reading it and believing it, even though there's so much evidence to prove that the Bible is true. Okay, let me see. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So John the Baptist had told Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." This is an example, and this will come into play later, that everyone is amenable to God's law. Now, a lot of people, majority of people really, are going to say, "I don't recognize God's law because I don't even believe in God. I don't care anything about it. Just take your religion and go. I'm not subject to that law." Well, they're going to find out on Judgment Day that, yes, everyone is subject to God's law. And John the Baptist was telling Herod, who most certainly was not obedient to God's law, but he was telling him, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. It is against the law of God. Therefore, Herodias had a grudge against him. Now, Herodias is the woman that he married. Basically, he married his sister-in-law. She had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So, you know, there was a small chance that Herod may have believed and obeyed at some point had he not made some poor choices. Sounds like he was at least willing to listen to John the Baptist. And an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday made a supper for his lords, high captains, and chief nobles of Galilee. It's a big birthday party for Herod. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, and I would imagine it was a very sexual, provocative dance because of Herod's reaction, and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask whatever you want for me, and I will give it to you." And he swore to her, "Whatever you shall ask of me, I will give it to you up to half of my kingdom." Most men are not going to promise a young lady that if she was doing a sweet, innocent Mary Poppins dance. So that's why I'm sure it was probably a very immodest, sexually provocative dance that she did. And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Wow, this is like Mother of the Year. And she came in immediately in a hurry to the king and asked, saying, "I want you give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Ugh. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet he would not reject her for his oath's sake and for the sakes of those who sat with him. It's my understanding that once a king made a decree, even the king himself could not go back on it. So he was obligated to fulfill his oath. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. What in the world did the mother do with this human head on a plate? I don't know. It's sick and disgusting. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So the apostles came back from their limited commission. You know, they were going out from village to village, preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jews first. So they're reporting back to Jesus. And he said to them, "Come by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." It's okay to rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they departed privately by ship into a deserted place. They needed rest. They needed a break. And Jesus knew that. He has compassion on us. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran on foot out from all the cities and went ahead of them and came together to him. It's like they cannot get away. It's kind of like, you know, pop stars and actors and stuff today. They can't go anywhere without being mobbed. And Jesus and his apostles were like that, at least for right now. We will see that change drastically. But for right now, they were very popular, and it was probably had more to do with him being able to heal people rather than, oh, I really want to hear the message that he's preaching. And when Jesus came out, he saw many people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and now the time is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." So we know that Jesus' mission was to teach the gospel. Yes, he healed. Yes, he performed miracles, but his main mission was to teach. And by performing miracles, it confirmed what he said. But Jesus also had compassion. He also had compassion on people. He answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were filled. Obviously a supernatural act. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fish. And those who ate of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So that doesn't even include women and children. So there could have been, you know, 15, 20,000 people there. I don't know. There were 5,000 men. And then you've got women and children too. And immediately he commanded his disciples to get into the ship and to go ahead to the other side to Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So go ahead and go across the Sea of Galilee while I'm dispersing the crowd. And when he sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. He wanted to go talk to his father. And when evening came, the ship was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. So whatever mountain he was on, he was able to look out and see that the apostles were really struggling to row across the Sea of Galilee because it was so windy. And around the 4th watch of the night, I think that would be like from 4 to 6 a.m., he came to them walking on the sea and wanted to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. So, yeah, it was scary. They saw what they thought was a ghost walking on the water in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. That would be scary. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Now, you remember in Matthew's account, Peter actually asked if he could come out on the water. Jesus allowed him to, and Peter was doing fine until he lost his focus for a little bit, lost his focus from Jesus, and he started sinking. For whatever reason, Mark does not include that in his account. And he went up into the ship with them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they did not consider the miracles of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. When it says their hearts were hardened, I don't think that means, no, we don't even believe this guy that we're following. I mean, they just didn't understand. They just didn't fully understand everything yet. I mean, this was all so new and just so, I mean, miracles was not a common thing. And so this was all very new to them, and they were still trying to figure it all out. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they came out of the ship, immediately they knew him and ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry around in beds those who were sick to where they heard he was. So, like I said, him and his apostles couldn't go anywhere without just being bombarded. And wherever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and begged him they might touch just the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were healed. So again, Jesus' main mission is to spread the gospel. But he did a lot of healing. He did a lot of healing because, one, that was what confirmed the word, proved who he was and what he was saying was true and from God, but also because he had compassion. And that is Mark chapter 6.